welcome to another Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris, Captain T-Jerk. The T stands for McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on this episode is Paddy, your Vulcan kidding me, Lennon. On this installment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we check out the last issue in the Star Trek vs. Transformers series and the first issue in the new IDW Transformers continuity. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. Star Trek vs. Transformers issue 5, the stunning conclusion. As the Klingon-Decepticon alliance prepares to wipe out their enemies once and for all, Kirk and the Autobots make one last desperate bid to merge Cybertronian technology with Starfleet ingenuity. It's a final conflict you won't want to miss. And I must admit, it's got nothing to do with what IDW ever say in their, in their things. I mean, it's got nothing to do with that. This is literally about the Klingons being taken over by Starscream and then everyone converging on the Klingon planet.
For about 3 pages, Starscream gets to conquer the Klingon homeworld.
Yeah, if that. And that's only because they've got to talk about how they're going to stop him at the beginning. So, Paddy, take us through it. What were your thoughts of the final issue?
I know we've said this a couple of times, but I don't really know what to say about the comic. Like, it's good and it's enjoyable and it looks nice, but I don't think there's actually a whole lot of depth to discuss about it.
Yeah,
is that a fair comment?
I would say that is a fair comment. I think for myself personally, the things that I kind of took from it, I was initially concerned about this last issue. I was concerned that they were going to do what has happened quite a lot when we've done a lot of comics bursts that revolve around a mini series, and that is kind of like cramming in this felt like an extension in like at the end of the last issue. We thought, this is just going to be an unnecessary extension rather than leaving it open for maybe a second series.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I was really happy with the outcome. I didn't feel like it was rushed. It's beautifully, beautifully drawn. Like, it just really is a delight to read.
That double page spread in the middle of the issue is so good,
isn't
right?
It the best. I love it. Where you've got the kind of Autobots and the Star Trek crew basically just attacking.
Charging the Decepticons. That's great.
It's
great,
brilliant.
Great.
But no, I totally agree with you. I think it's one of those ones, it's such an inoffensive comic. There's nothing really negative to kind of say. Unless, you know, you're right in a sense, there isn't much depth to it. But what there is a really nice, compact story in a miniseries here, 1 to 5. And I'm happy they did the extra issue, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely. The other thing I'd say is, shout out to the Funky Klingon Ladies on page 3. we need them to have their own series, I think. Just the Klingon Ladies doing some sort of, you know, I don't know what you would do with them, but you have to. They look so cool when Phil Murphy's drawing them that I think we need to get more of them in comics.
Love that kind of scene of the Klingon homeworld and their kind of almost their governmental building kind of thing. Yeah, really, really cool. Okay, so we don't really need to go into much more depth on this one, but let's talk about the series overall, Paddy. What are your thoughts, kind of potating wise, about this series as a whole?
Overall, I think it's a 4. I mean, I think, you know, we agree it's light and it's funny and it's entertaining and it's enjoyable. It's not too deep. There's no, you know, political ramifications or whatever. For people who just want to dip in and read something that's a light, breezy, enjoyable read, I think you couldn't go far wrong with this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I definitely would say it's a 4.
I'm actually going to go in and say a couple of things on what you just mentioned there. I think it is high up in the ratings. I'm going to throw a 4.5 on this one. And I don't know why I'm not going 5, really, but I suppose, you know, there are better miniseries out there, obviously. That's probably why. But the fact that it doesn't have to be depthy. This is a series that operates in a perfectly acceptable arena of itself. Like, it doesn't need to have loads and loads of depthy storyline to it. This is effectively taking what we used to see as cartoons, you know, as kids, and transferring it into the comics. So I think from that point of view, we don't really need the ridiculous amounts of depth of storyline. It just needs to be, and let's face it, something we've been missing out on for a long period of time is just Autobots versus Decepticons in a nice classic clash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not a Star Trek Transformers crossover. It's a Star Trek animated Transformers crossover.
Big time.
You know, there's a difference in tone there, and you know, which you would expect because it is a two animated series essentially crossing over. And I think that's what if people are going in to read this, they need to take that into consideration. It's not Star Trek the original series crossing over with Transformers. It is Star Trek the animated series crossing over with Transformers, and you need to adjust your expectations, I think, a bit appropriately to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So a big score there for Star Wars. Star Trek.
I'm leaving that in.
Star Trek versus the GoBots. Star Wars versus the GoBots gets a massive 4 and a 4.5 from me. So, moving on then, Paddy. A bold new era in Transformers issue 1. A new aura dawns. In the infinite universe, there exists a planet like no other. Cybertron. Home to the Transformers and a thriving hub for interstellar commerce, it is a world brimming with organic and constructed diversity. Immense structures line its landscape. Mechanical giants roam across its surface. Starship-sized titans orbit its skies, keeping a constant protective watch above and below. Ancient Transformers merge into its very fabric. Small, mysterious creatures skulk in its shadows. It is a truly amazing realm, long untouched by war and exuberantly reaching for the stars. This is the Cybertron that Optimus Prime and Megatron vie for in this bold new origin. A world of seemingly endless peace. All that changes when Bumblebee and Windblade take a newly forged Cybertronian on his first voyage through this world of wonders. They are confronted by this hard reality of the first murder to have occurred on Cybertron in living memory. So, a couple of things I want to kind of point out from the start here. One, this is the brand new continuity by IDW after a 13-year stint of giving us, like, tons and tons of comics. We now jump into this, and personally for me, I feel like there is literally no difference. I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting from this particular series, but I feel like it's as if we haven't even... there hasn't been an end to the universe we've already left.
Yeah, I don't know if you can call it a bold new era when 5 out of 6 of the main characters were stars in the latter half of IDW's last run.
Yeah.
Two of the characters who are big names in this literally had their own books named after them in the previous IDW run that's been laid in Optimus. And one of them has a movie in theaters right now.
And comics, let's face it. He had comics as well.
And he had comics series of his own as well in the previous run of IDW. So if you're doing
Rubble miniseries that came out, aren't you?
Yeah, so it is really nice to see all these obscure characters turning up in this new reboot, isn't it?
Okay, so I think this would have been a perfect release for Free Comic Book Day to be like a preview issue or like an issue zero.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it really operates very well as an issue one because it doesn't explain what you'd want it to explain as an issue one to kind of almost ground the new origin.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah.
It does a lot for a comic that doesn't tell you much. It's very exposition heavy.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. A lot of it is just like, oh, look, Titan overhead. They have no impact on the story yet. Oh, we need to go see Brainstorm. Maybe we should go see Brainstorm. Again, it's a very frustrating comic to read, I think.
I think as an issue one, I wouldn't say disappointed. I mean, I was, but like not like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. But more so in a... My expectations were, I didn't know what to expect, which is always difficult. Like, if I don't know what to expect and I just go straight into it, the last thing I was expecting was almost exactly the same material that I've been reading for the past 6 or 7 months. I don't know what I felt like they could have done with it, but it doesn't seem to be different enough for me right now.
No, I think
that might change as we go on and we start kind of uncovering some of what's going on. And obviously in this particular comic we have a newly formed Transformer called Rubble, and he's being shown around the planet, which I don't know, it just feels a bit weird. Bumblebee's kind of shown him around. Yeah,
and the planet isn't noticeably different from what we already know.
No,
like they still have like Iacon and Kaon and Tarn.
Yeah,
like they still mention the same cities and stuff.
He's Orion Pax as well, isn't he? So
yeah, he's Orion Pax as well. And the only main difference would be is that, you know, Optimus and Megatron are both senators now.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, everybody seems to be who they are. You know, Ironhide is the right-hand man of Optimus. They keep mentioning Prowl as being a bit of a bag. So why are you rebooting it when you're keeping almost everything exactly the same and using the same characters?
Yeah, it's like, if I feel like they're, you just basically changing some of the origin in order to get to the same place. You know, like they're changing some of the origin story to get Prime in his position, to get Megatron in his position. To everyone's exactly the same as we've always known them. Which again, I'm not going to moan about that. Like, I like seeing the G1 characters. I like seeing that kind of stuff done. But at the same time, this just, you know, for a bold new era, that's a big claim, and I don't think it's been executed as well as it could have been. But this is issue one. We could get some, you know, much better stuff as we go along. But we've already seen Brainstorm dead at the end of the issue. And we know he's dead because that's what it says in the IDW explanation. Interesting. For me, on this one, I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this one a 2.5 as an issue one, personally. And I don't mean it to sound really negative, but it just, I just read through it and was like, really? This is the same thing I've been reading for the past 6 months. But anyway.
That's what I'm here for, to be overly negative. I do want to address a couple of big problems I had, and it is with the art team on this.
Okay.
First of all, it's the first issue of the reboot, and they need two artists to do the full issue. So
yeah,
that's the start. So, you know, they're already, you know, they're not even an issue into a reboot, and they're already issue sharing between artists, which is something that I think we've all agreed kind of killed us on the last few issues of the previous run.
They were trying to get
too many issues out too quickly. They should have just given the main artist another couple of weeks and launched this next month.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be an ongoing problem here, because this comic is going to be coming out twice every month.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. The schedule's always been an issue, hasn't it, for us?
Yeah.
Like, we're constantly told that this is coming out this week, this is coming out this week, and then you don't see it for 3 or 4 weeks, and it's kind of like, okay. Or it's supposed to be out, and it's out on the app, but isn't in the comic book stores, and you're just kind of thinking...
So, I don't see how they're going to keep... If they're already getting someone else to fill in a couple of pages in the first issue, how are they supposed to keep Angel Hernandez doing the art consistently across all of the issues if they're trying to get 40 pages of a comic out every month?
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that art sharing stuff happening from now on, which is kind of irritating. The two artists on this, their art styles are completely different.
Yeah.
It's not like where it was, you know, where Guido Guidi would come in and work with Nick Roach, and you couldn't tell the difference half the time.
Yeah.
The two guys, they have Angel Hernandez, who is the main artist on it, and Kashe Whitman, I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly, they look completely different.
Yeah.
I also think Whitman's pages, which is the scene with Optimus and Megatron talking to each other, are Whitman's pages. The composition of his panels are really weird, because the characters are like moving around a room and are looking over each other's shoulders at each other and so on.
Yeah.
Whatever way he frames it, it looks very, very strange. And because of the way he's composed the panels, the word balloons are always blocking the two characters' eyeline. If you look at that sequence there, you'll see that essentially the way he's drawn the panels, I don't think he's left enough space for the letterer to actually put the words in. So you keep having the balloons blocking Optimus and Megatron's eyelines, which is like a major no-no for lettering comics. It's like basic stuff that you shouldn't be getting wrong if you're supposed to be a comics letterer.
Yeah.
I also think that the fact that Ruckley is a prose writer by trade, although he's done a couple of comics, that accounts for the fact that some of those pages have too many words on them.
Big time.
And there's a lot of word balloons in there, especially in that Optimus Megatron scene of page 10 to 13. So it just, you know, he could probably have cut down, either leave more space in the art for the dialogue or cut down.
I agree with that. I definitely think when you turn the page and all you see is text, it's like, okay, this is a comic, you know, like I'm not reading a book right now. I'm reading a comic book. I kind of want, there's a real balance to it, and it's not an easy thing to do. And I'm not saying that, you know, these guys, oh, you should have cut this out or done this. I just feel like it's not an easy balance to get right, especially if you do need a lot of back and forth to build whatever's going on between those two characters. But I agree with you. I think, yeah, there's too much going on in those panels. You've got these huge Transformer designs and they're filling the panel. There's hardly any background at all. It's just sometimes it's just Prime World balloons and you can't see anything else in the background, which is kind of crazy. So I do agree with that. And it's, I think, just overall, I mean, what would you give it overall as a rating?
It's going to be a 2.
Okay. Well, hopefully this can improve, because I don't want us to be massively negging on the new Transformers series every single couple of weeks.
The new Asterix Transformers series.
Yeah, Asterix indeed. But anyway, Paddy, thanks for jumping on and chatting those two Transformers issues with me.
No problem at all, Chris.
Awesome. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Paddy Lennon. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.